This is the Skirted Roundtable. I'm Linda Merrill from Surroundings.
This is Megan Arquette from Beach Bungalow 8.
And Joni Webb from Cota, Texas.
And this week on the Skirted Roundtable, we're going to be talking about high-low decorating, for lack of a better term. But it's everything from mixing high-end products with not necessarily low-end, but retail, you know, everyday retail products to come up with a beautiful room and stretches the budget, to how to get the same look as high-end and places you can go to maybe get the look for less and use those as inspirations.
And sometimes it's not even about doing a high-low-end look. I think there are a lot of people who, you know, we all get the catalogs in the mail, and I think that admittedly a lot of people just say, I have no creative, you know, aesthetic sense. I don't know how to put a room together, so it's so much easier for me to grab the catalog, go through it, and pick A, B, C, D, I want all of those things, and bring them in. And I think that it tends to make a room look stale and static, whereas if you bring some piece of interest in, and it can actually, it makes the room, it gives the room a sense of provenance. You walk in and there's more to the story than just, you know, everything done in Java ebony finish, you know, with the beige slipcovers or whatever it is. I think it's worth the while to find pieces that are interesting, and they can be pieces that are not necessarily expensive or of any monetary value, but mean something special to you, and working the room around that possibly.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think, you know, as we always say, the best rooms are rooms that have grown over time and sort of develop organically. And sometimes you can't do that. You move into a new house and you have an empty room and you want to get it decorated so it doesn't necessarily grow organically. But anytime you bring in something that's unique and different, which doesn't have to be expensive, but could be, you know, but doesn't have to be, but that's not something everybody sees every day in a catalog, it definitely can make, that's really can make the difference in a room, even if everything else is something from one of the
right.
regular catalog.
If you have one piece that's, and it could even be interesting artwork. I mean, it can be artwork. It could be, you know, one great piece of furniture and then you work the rest around it. But I think it's the whole idea of getting away from the out of the box look for a room.
Speaking of artwork, Lauren from Pure Style Home, she had just moved into a new house, and what she did for a focal point in her room that is so fabulous, she took an old print from the 1600s or 1500s and had it blown up to huge proportions, like maybe an 8x10 size on linen, I believe. And it's in black and white, and it looks like a mural in her room, and it is stunning. It's such a focal point. It didn't cost much money. It's so dramatic. And on her website, which is purestylehome.blogspot.com, she actually tells you where you the company that does this. And I went and looked it up, and you can do it on canvas. You can do it on linen. You can do it on paper. You know, all different things. But I think, you know, as far as artwork, what a great way to get a, you know, really great look for not a lot of money.
That is a really good example, actually. I remember seeing that piece, and didn't she have maybe a table and chairs that she had already? And by bringing that in, it just made such a huge difference in the room.
Well, she put her dining room table in front of it.
Right. But it was something she already had and wasn't necessarily some major, you know, antique piece from, you know, a Sotheby's auction. It was, you know, it was a nice piece.
She bought the table from Pottery Barn.
Yeah, it was like a pottery.
You know, it's the pedestal, Pottery mm-hmm. Barn, but this huge, gorgeous print from an old print of a woman and a man on a horse, and it's in black and white, and it's stunning. I just can't even, I mean, I like, I'm looking for a place in my house to do it.
To do that. It does seem like that's actually the big print thing is becoming kind of a trend anyway, which is, you know, she's kind of on the forefront with the big map at Restoration Hardware and big, huge focal point, which, yeah, I mean, that can just make a whole room.
Well, there's
a
company.
But the map, excuse me, Megan, but the map at Restoration Hardware is over, isn't it, like over $2,000?
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's expensive, but I'm just saying it's, you know, like that. It's a huge focal point, and obviously she found a way of doing it.
You know, Natural Curiosities, which is a company that I love, yeah, that's out of LA, this guy just does amazing things, and he's the one that's responsible for doing those. I actually had it on my blog a bit back where they're triptychs, and he, like, one, and not all of them are, but, you know, this huge horse, which was a photograph of a winning racehorse from, I believe, the 20s, and he has done some octopuses that are huge, and you would think those would be, they're odd, but they're beautiful. And in another place, talking about, speaking of large, interesting focal points for your rooms, on eBay, you can do, you can get these nautical maps that are vintage, and, you know, you get two or three of those if you have a big enough space, and if you live in a beachy house or near a coastal area, it's great. They're beautiful.
Well, the Swedish home, it's on my blog, that Carol Glasser did in Houston, and they have a little sun porch, and they, instead of wallpapering, they went and put, just pasted, you know, botanicals on the wall, and that they had copied. So they bought... Yeah. They bought like 20 botanicals in black and white, and they copied it on a copy machine and then pasted it and then had it hand painted. And the hand painting is that really, you know, tips it over the line. But even if it was in black and white, with that, how stunning would that be? And anyone can do that.
You know, another thing, I have this, I found at a junk store in Boston once, this Boston Social Register. And in my bathroom, in my powder room, in the house that I had in Boston, I was thinking what I would do is copy all the pages and possibly, you know, you can turn on the color copiers, you can adjust them so they're colored a little bit. So if I were to do, you know, a series of them in sort of a maybe beigey color, then the other series in more of a cream color, so that when I put them up, it would sort of give a checkerboard pattern in these different tones. But when you look closer, you know, it's their pages out of this social register. And I think you can do that with... Wouldn't that be cool? I think you can do that with so many different... Who was it that did that? Oh, it was Gambrell. Didn't he do that one bathroom? That was That was pretty amazing. I mean,
this sun porch I'm talking about is the same effect, but instead of those horrible... That book, you know... This was beautiful botanicals, and it's just a beautiful, gorgeous room. But, you know, anyone can do that.
Do it on one wall, right. And that will save you the cost of spending, because those really high-end, great wallpapers that are all the rage right now. You know, I did one wall in my breakfast nook, and it was about $700 just to do that wall. So it's an easy way. Doing what we're talking about is such an easier way than spending that kind of money, and it looks great.
Well, wallpaper is so hot, though, right now. It's really in, and it's expensive.
But it's expensive if you do the right stuff. We're not talking about the little geese going along in the row with the matching border.
The border.
The Laura Ashley. Yeah.
Now, I love the huge birds, like the Audubon birds, that's another thing that is so expensive. But Oli Studios has great copies, or they're like an homage to Audubon, and aren't they stunning?
And
you can get two of them, and you can have art and not spend a fortune. Though I had done a blog saying that I'm not a big art lover, that I'm more of a mirror lover, and I'm not into art because I can't afford the art that I like. And I got so many emails from people that said, have you really priced art lately?
Yeah.
From the 1800s and, you know, the eras I like, or the genres I like. And it was like, you would be shocked how inexpensive it is really right now.
You really?
For original art?
Yes. Modern art is out the roof expensive. But at like Sotheby's and, you know, when you go to these auctions, the art that I like, which is old, a couple of centuries old, that stuff is not hot right now. It is not selling.
I think you can. I think that it's important to keep your eye out for estate sales and auctions in your area. I think that's really a great resource. And you buy the art that you like, certainly. You know, I think that interesting art really does make a very big difference in a room. even if it's, you know, a lot of people are sort of over the whole tramp art thing. We're just with the old portraits. I personally still love them. I think they're great. And there you can do a high and low end mix of things. And I think that you can, because so many people feel like it's safe to go with the shopping mall, you know, the chain stores that we all get the catalogs from. They feel like it's so safe. I don't think there's any problem going, you know, with a few pieces like that. But why not bring in, go to, here we've got the Rose Bowl. We've got all sorts of these massive flea markets. But there are flea markets everywhere. And even I'm not opposed to dumpster diving either. But if you find a great chair whose bones look are great, there's so much refinishing you could do. You can always reupholster, especially chairs are an easy thing. And having something like that that's just a little off really creates so much more interest in a room.
Well, I think the hard part that people have is a lot of people that they don't know if it's worth the effort. I mean, there's a lot of cheap reproduction furniture you can find in a secondhand store that's not worth the price of reupholstery. And then, you know, you can find that gem in the rough that totally is worth the price of reupholstery. So it's sort of developing that eye for what has the value, whether it's just structurally sound and aesthetically pleasing to you. But finding something that's a little bit different and can, you know, you can build the rest of your room around and mix in, you know, high-end things, medium-priced items. I think, as I said before we started recording, I don't think too many people today, certainly today, are decorating strictly top-of-the-line high-end. There are some, but not most people. I think most people are mixing what you see in the stores and the catalogs with some high-end pieces. And, you know, I think it's a very legitimate way of decorating.
Well, I do think if you're starting out and you're young and you need a plan, the best way maybe to go about is, let's say you get a birthday gift or you get your tax refund, is to try to buy one nice big piece for each living space.
True.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's your anchor. And, you know, you could buy a beautiful armoire or a break front or, you know, something antique, you know, spend some money on that one piece, and then you can pair it with the slip-covered IKEA sofa for $350.
How many podcasts has Joni mentioned the IKEA $359 sofa?
You're going to walk into IKEA and they're going to have that poster that hangs over the sofa section, and it's going to be Joni Webb.
The Joni Webb.
And it's going to have her quoted. And she's going to be sitting in a white shirt, reclining on that damn sofa.
Okay, but seriously, I think, you know, I mean, that's the way to go, though.
Yeah.
If you're starting out, there is no excuse not to have a good-looking house today. There just isn't an excuse. I mean, it doesn't take any money to decorate today.
Well, I wouldn't say it doesn't take any money, but I think that people have got to get over the, you know, everything's disposable. They've got to learn to commit. You know, they've got to learn to commit
yes.
to a piece of furniture that they are going to be happy with for the rest of their life. That you don't buy that fantastic armoire with the expectation, well, what if I don't like it in 5 years? Well,
see,
for one
I
thing,
that. Yeah. I would hate to have a room. I'd tell someone the idea of having a room full of junk, just, you know, like stuff that isn't going to be around, like Linda was saying.
Well,
I'd rather
now listen,
one good piece.
If you buy an antique, you can sell that antique in 10 years. If you go to Ethan Allen and you spend the same money, because it's going to cost you the same, on a break front as an antique break front, you cannot resell that in 10 years. So you are better off finding an antique that you like now, you know, and if you don't like it in 10 years, you can sell it. But there will not be a market to sell a $3,000 break from Ethan Allen. There just won't
no.
be.
Right. No, no. Absolutely. And true antiques today have already stood the test of times, and new furniture today, much of it, if it's not handmade, I mean, you can buy new furniture today that's glorious and handmade, and that will be an antique down the road that someone could resell and it will have value. But, you know, any production furniture, anything in any retail store will never do that. They can advertise that all they want, but they won't. It won't.
Okay, sort of like the fast food. I kind of think of the Pottery Barn and West Elm stuff, even though it's, you know, it serves its purpose. It's kind of the McDonald's. Do you know what I mean?
Okay. Well, I just want to say something. I mean, y'all can laugh at me about the IKEA, but let me tell you something. If I was 25 years old and I was starting out, I would get a room, a living room, let's say. I would paint it a dark, you know, brown or a dark, really dark blue, you know, like really dark. I would get that $349 white sofa. I would go to Pottery Barn or wherever and get a seagrass for $200.
Of course.
You know, of course you would.
I would go to a garden shop and get a huge
bust.
And I mean, and then I would buy a lantern that they sold at Home Depot for the outside
and spray
and
it red.
Know what? Laugh all you want, but that room would be.
No, Joey, I know. Actually would be.
And you would have spent $400-$500.
You need your own show, girl.
I know.
You know what that color is?
Well, not because it would all look the same, though, Megan. It would always have that white sofa. They could get a different color slipcover.
That color you're going for is called Downpipe Gray by Farrow and Ball, by the way. I just
don't post on it. Absolutely. I mean, you can create.
That's what I say when I say there's no excuse today. You know,
but that what you just named off, that takes a lot. That is because you have a great eye. I mean, there are elements. The reason that would work is because it has a lot of elements in it that are great. Like, you know, the strong contrast. It's livable. That dark wall with that beautiful white sofa popping. You know, mm-hmm. Then the interest of the red. You know, most people wouldn't think that they wouldn't have the confidence to be able to go to Home Depot and go, God, which one of these lanterns was she talking about? And now I've got to pick a red. There's so many reds. Lipstick red down to brick red, you know. So, you know.
Well, they have to spray paint that.
Right. So. But that's that's why the Pottery Barns are Pottery Barn. That's why they make a lot of money, because they do make it easy for people and the restoration hardwares, and they come up with unique and interesting, not necessarily unique, restoration hardware more unique, obviously, than Pottery Barn. But they do make it easy for people. And I think all we're saying is that that's obviously, as people know, it's not the be all and end all, and you can mix lower items with that. But yes, if you go out and buy that antique armoire that you love, you know, build your room around that, and then go into Pottery Barn and buy the table that goes with it, or, you know, the chairs.
And I think what I was saying by, you know, downplaying it, saying it was kind of like the junk food, I guess I'm just saying is I would rather not see people nickel and dime themselves and buy cheaper and expensive pieces to fill a room. I'd rather see it all be saved, and then when you can, afford a great piece and, I don't know, throw some pillows on the floor until you can get the soap, you know, the few other things.
Well, I know what you're saying, and you're right, Megan, but on that means that you have to live with an empty room, which I never could do. So I'm just saying that if you can't live with an empty room, you know, there's things that are good looking, you know, that just aren't that expensive. Like, for instance, all of this furniture from China, and like you can go to World Market and buy a decent looking wood coffee table, you know, for a couple hundred dollars. And then you can upgrade it one day, you know, when you can afford it. But in the meantime, you have something that is nice looking.
But now, so in your design practices, what have you done as far as mixing the retail level products with high-end products? So not necessarily for the budget conscious. I mean, everybody's budget conscious, but not necessarily for the young person starting out. Not, you know, someone who's spending decent money on their room. You know, to have you guys mixed in the regular stuff in the retail stores with the designer high-end level merchandise?
Well, you know, there are so many great wholesale companies. And, like, right now I'm working with my neighbor across the street, and she needed a lot of furniture. And Brooke gave me two resources that I never knew about it, and I'm in love with them. One is Noir, N-O-I-R-L-A. And they have gorgeous stuff. for very inexpensive wholesale. And another one was Artesia. And so I think that a decorator that can pass on these, you know, wholesale prices, which I do, and add 20% on to them, God, this great looking stuff. Those two companies have, you know, really neat looking stuff. In fact, I bought a desk and a chair for my daughter from Artesia, a French looking desk, and it cost me $400 or $500.
Now, how's the quality?
Well, it hadn't come yet. So I don't know.
I've heard people use Artesia.
I've heard of it.
Okay, Mary Steenburgen, you know, her her store, you know? The actress, she has a store in L.A. or somewhere, and I looked at it, and she had a lot of furniture from Noir in there. So, you know, I guess, and I've seen these chairs that we bought for my neighbor, these kind of faux Chippendale bamboo-ish kind of things, and I've been emailing her every time I see them in a magazine. So they're pretty popular, but I mean, you know, they're a couple hundred dollars wholesale. Jesus, that's
yeah. There's a, you know, it's there are the but they're to the trade, aren't they?
Yeah, well, you have to have a decorator.
Right, you do have to go through a decorator.
Right, because I was just about to mention there's a couple others. Plumbers Online, I think it's Plummer. They've got some things that I see pop up here, you know, at shops around, and they're wholesale. But I think you have, it's to the trade, so so that doesn't work for everyone else. Everyone else has to pay for the retail.
Well, that's where having a designer that works on a cost plus basis, where it's a manageable, like 20% or 25%, and you're getting chairs for $200-$300, you know, you go to Ethan Allen, you're gonna be paying a lot more than that. So
that's true. It's like three times.
Yeah, well, chairs are expensive retail. I mean, they just are,
especially if you're doing a dining room set.
But haven't you found, though, that in the case of chairs, that you get what you pay for? You know, at the retail level, I mean, if you buy a cheap chair, it's a cheap chair. If you put more money into it.
I was disappointed about, did you ever see those, when Anthropologie came out with those chairs a couple years ago, they were really, I mean, you guys, they're probably a little funkier than your style, but either of you, but they were really beautiful. They were really great.
You mean the wing chairs and the show, yeah.
Really interesting proportions, funky fabric. Beautiful. But I went in and they weighed like 3 pounds. They were so flimsy and light.
Well, Anthropologie is known for that, Megan. They're known for having very overpriced furniture that's not well made.
I'm so disappointed.
And I just bought the bed for my daughter, but everyone swears that it's a great bed. You know, the campaign style bed.
Yeah, that bed I have. I've gone in there and, you know, kicked the tires and sort of rattled around a bit. It seems good. I mean, but those chairs. No, it seemed. Have you not seen it in person?
Yeah,
it's it's good. It seems like it's a good quality. But it was just those chairs in particular.
Yeah, but they're kind of known for that. Everything is so expensive, and then the quality is not great. You know.
I'm looking up Artesia. What was the other one you just said? Noir.
Noir, L.A. God, I'm like a
N, like
N O I R. Yeah. Getting back to Cheap Chic, there is a great blog that specializes in finding things that are great looking that you see in all the magazines, and she finds it cheap, and then she always finds it cheaper. So there's like usually like three levels of the same thing, and the address is copycatchic.com, and I love reading her blog.
That sounds like a fun blog.
Yeah, it is. It
sounds like a lot of work on her part.
I don't know how she does it.
Well, I definitely think, you know, you can always, you see something in a magazine, like a headboard in some beautiful room, you can always bring that to a local, picture to a local upholsterer, and, you know, it's not going to cost anywhere near.
That's true.
You know, and get it, you can get a really good one. You bring it to a good local upholsterer. I definitely like being able to find the sort of more unusual things. My sofa in my living room, I got at Crate and Barrel about 9 years ago, and they only ever had it in one catalog. Because nobody bought it, And I heard that they was told they only imported like 30 of them into the country. And I have one. Yeah, it was this. It's a sort of a fainting couch, rattan and mahogany, with just a bench seat, but the back is rattan. And I had to wait for it because I had to wait for them to bring them in, and then they never had them again because I don't think too many people bought it. So it's kind of neat, you know. It's neat that I like having something that you've never seen anywhere else, but it really just came from Crate and Barrel and was $1,800.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of what you said, I think another great look in a living room or a den is to have that kind of odd chaise or daybed or settee with a standard couch. You know, I think that's so good looking to add that odd seating piece, you know.
Yeah, and I actually find it very, very comfortable. It's great for naps. Mm-hmm. It's a great napping couch.
Is that your real sofa?
Yeah.
Oh, uh-huh.
Yeah, it's my main sofa. I have that and a love seat, like a Sheraton-style love seat, hickory chair. The sofa's big. They almost couldn't get it in my house. It's deep. It's, you know, could seat three. You wouldn't really put three people. Yeah, three people can sit on it. Mm-hmm. Some people wouldn't find it at all comfortable because it doesn't have a padded, cushioned back. It's a rattan back. But I personally find it very comfortable. But it's short, too. I like it. It's not deep. And I've got short legs, so I happen to find that comfortable.
Well, I've designed rooms like that where instead of doing two, like say there's a fireplace, and how you would put a sofa on each side, well, on one side I put the backless sofa or the chaise, you know, just the arm, so they can see the TV through it and still have matching, you know, that it looks matching, but there's not the back on it. So that's kind of a good idea.
Now, on the flip side, I was just thinking about this, the flip side to finding quality, either finding high-end looking pieces at a modest price, is I had a client who her living room was just photographed, and we did a mix of the retail stuff and designer high-end stuff, and the rug, her oriental rug, was quite expensive. And she told me that someone came in to the room and looked at the rug and was like, oh, this is beautiful. Pottery Barn?
Fine.
You know, and she didn't want to be like, well, it's a $5,000 rug from Landry and Arcari, but okay. You know, she didn't want to sound like a snob. So she's just like, oh, yeah. You know, she didn't really answer. But it was just because she didn't want to sound braggy. But yeah, someone just, because Pottery Barn does, you know, they look nice in the catalog now. You saw them, you did a side-by-side comparison, you'd see why one was a $5,000 handmade.
Yes, I agree. They look great in the catalog, yeah. But in person, those rugs do not look good.
Right, and, you know, right, and this rug that my clients bought will last their lifetime. They'll be able to pass it down to their daughter if she wants it. And, you know, it's an investment piece. It's a piece that they could sell down the road if they change their minds about how they wanted to decorate, but they'll pass it on. It will last 50 years at least.
At least, yeah.
You know, and it's just beautiful. But yeah, she was like a little mortified. She was like, oh, I didn't know what to say. So
it's sort of, she could say, you idiot.
Well, I mean, you know, because people don't know, and she just looked at it. I know. And I said, so did she think that the antique French chandelier was from Shades of Light? You know, but in that same room, we had the $5,000 rug, and we had the $400, or maybe they were $800, Restoration Hardware tufted armless chairs.
Yeah,
you know, and we had Mitchell Gold chairs. And so very retail that the Mitchell Gold I picked the fabric and we did COM fabric on it. But the Restoration Hardware, I just went to the store and picked out a fabric sample from their standard line of what was available for the chair. And it was easy. And
you know, another way I think to, if you're looking, you know, and this is, of course, overstated, but I don't think it can be stated enough, is the power of paint. And, you know, if you have a room that you're starting out on and everything, instead of starting with builder beige or something white, even though white is, you know, in all the magazines, it's hard to decorate with white. So, I mean, I always suggest go really deep and go dark, because then the paint, which is so cheap, it becomes a real focal point.
Right.
And it's a sophisticated inexpensive way to just create real drama in a room if you go really dark with your paint.
Yeah, I think if you go with this dark white wall, you better have awfully nice things on that wall and in front of the wall. Because it just shows them. Yeah. But yeah, if you have a beautiful, unusual color, the navy blue, the dark red, you know, black or whatever, you can get away with the $359 IKEA slip covered sofa.
$349.
Oh, sorry.
$349.
But absolutely, you can get, you know, that sofa is going to look great in front of a really amazing.
Yeah, like a deep brown, you know.
Yeah. I want IKEA to send us all one of those sofas.
You can go get any kind of white curtain, inexpensive, anywhere, and then just do the tape, just take ribbon in the color of the wall and dress up an inexpensive white curtain panel. Right.
And, you know, if you do that, then if you have you come into your tax refund and you have the money to go out and buy, you know, that one piece you can afford to buy this year, you can buy that piece and it will fit in with all these other things you've done. You're creating
What piece would you buy?
Well, it could be anything. It could be the armoire. This has been the Skirted Roundtable with Megan Arquette from Beach Bungalow 8, Joni Webb from Coat to Texas, and I'm Linda Merrill from Surroundings. Thank you so much for joining us this week. You can visit us online at www.skirtedroundtable.blogspot.com or download our podcasts from iTunes. Search for the Skirted Roundtable. Thanks again, and we'll be back soon.